Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 this morning in verse 31. We're going to see the Lord's prediction of Peter's denial and how Peter's fall was from Satan's attack but was used of God for Peter's growth. And let's read Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Tom York, would you lead us in prayer? Yeah, I do want to especially welcome the Inans and Jim's parents. And good to have Song way back. And Linda. And let's see, who am I missing here? This is the problem with doing this, you know, you're going to miss somebody. Good to have everyone with us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we will never deny the Lord? Do you think you'd be faithful? And what we're going to see here is we cannot trust ourselves, but we must rely upon the Lord. We dare not trust our own strength. We dare not trust an arm of flesh. It's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We want to trust the Lord to be able to stand. And so Peter is a great lesson. You know, you have Peter in all four Gospels. His denial is recorded. I'm sure that was very humbling for Peter. And Satan had it out for Peter. Satan had him targeted. Jesus warned him about it. God had a plan for Peter, though. And God overrules it all for his glory and for Peter's establishment in faith. So this is what we're looking at today. We're looking at the prediction of the denial of Peter. And notice how he opens this up. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. Now it's interesting. I want to bring out the contrast between transitionally where we were, where we are. You might recall last time he said, you are they who continued with me in my trials. He's commending them. They were faithful. And there have been many others who have been faithful too. And in trials, it might remind you of John Bunyan. He's in prison 12 years. He's faithful, wrote those wonderful books. Adoniram Judson in Burma. He was faithful, persevering for that mission work. And these apostles were faithful. But sometimes there comes a lapse. Sometimes there can come a fall. Sometimes the enemy moves in like a flood. And if a Christian is vulnerable and they're not on their guard, like Jesus said, watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation, boom, the fall can come. Now, it's not the end of the story. And we're going to see that. Again, God had an overruling plan. But still, it is tragic that Peter denied the Lord. Now, you notice how he introduces this. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. Now, that was his name, not his surname, Peter. I'm going to make you a rock. Not yet. No, the Simon, Simon gives a solemn emphasis. Martha, Martha, thou art coming about many things. Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. So it is a solemn word here. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. Now, we want to look at the occasion of this. Luke writes very logically, like Paul. You know, they're co-laborers as missionaries. And I think he writes it here because right after Jesus said, you've continued with me in my trials, but here's a little break in that. And let's consider the book of Matthew. Well, the Gospel of John, first of all. We'll try to get this in its order. There were two times that Jesus warned Peter about this. I didn't realize that until studying this. In John chapter 13, he warned him in the upper room. John chapter 13 and verse 30. Well, I'm not going to read that far back. Let's go to verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither thou goest? Where goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. That's the first time. This is in the upper room. Because you have John 13, 14, 16, 17, it's all in the upper room. So that came out early. Peter's probably thinking about that one. You know, but Peter, remember, he's a strong one. Naturally, he's a leader. And he's determined that isn't going to happen. And then let's go to Matthew now. 26. Okay, the upper room is over. And they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 in verse 30. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So you know they're on their way. Okay, they're not in the upper room anymore. Then Jesus saith unto them, Matthew 26, 31, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now, not just Peter. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And so notice that last statement. Likewise also said all the disciples. So it wasn't just Peter, but Peter especially was a target here by Satan. Okay, so the occasion was the upper room and the announcement, Jesus is going, I want to go with you, not now, Peter. And the occasion of the shepherd's going to be smitten, you're all going to be scattered, not me. And so he's confident, right? You can see. You can see something of the pride, you know, this before the fall. You can see something of the self-confidence by which he's trying to stand. It never works in the spiritual realm. And so, Simon, Simon, Satan. Now, here is the veil's pulled back here. You know, this is happening, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual forces in heavenly places. Didn't exactly quote that right. Ephesians 6:12. In other words, we've got satanic powers that are active, that are against us as God's children. We know Satan. Satan, who is called the devil, he is, which means slanderer. He's called Apollyon. He is the destroyer. He's called the prince of this world because he has a universal influence. He deceives the whole world. Revelation 12:9, he blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, that they might be saved. How he does that, we don't know, but he does that. And he's the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them before God day and night. He's like the prosecuting attorney right there in heaven, where he's got something on you. But we have an advocate. Now, we'll get to that part. We've got a defense lawyer. Jesus. And Satan, he's called a murderer, he's called a liar, he's very real. Satan means adversary. Who's he against? Well, he's against God, and he's against God's people, he's against God's cause. And so, Satan hath desire to have you. Now, what we see here is God does not isolate us from Satan's attacks, but he promises protection. In fact, in John 17, he said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. 17:15, but that you protect them from the evil, literally from the evil one. So there is a divine protection, brethren, that you and I have. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And 1 John 5:18, the whole world lies in the wicked one, but he touches us not. Doesn't mean he doesn't oppress, suppress, depress, or however he can work, you know. He definitely works against the child of God, but he can't possess, right? He can't take you out of God's hand. And so, but he can make it difficult. He can attack the child of God. And we don't want to underestimate this foe. We want to have a certain respect for principalities and powers. Book of Jude. You remember, the Lord rebuked thee. It isn't in us, you know, to have victory in this realm. We're going to hear it tonight. If you come back to hear Ben in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, Satan, this fallen angel, formerly Lucifer, son of the morning, one who was the covering cherub, the highest of created beings, he is the most powerful being in the universe. Created being, of course, God is infinite. But here's something interesting about this one. Satan, he hath desired to have you. He has asked for you. Peter, why? Because he had to. Because he can't do anything without God's permission. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1. So God is faithful. You know, we definitely are under divine protection. If the enemy, who does walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, if he was let loose from God's control, I think we would last, how long would it be? 30 seconds? I don't know. But we'd be wiped out in short time. In Job chapter 1. Now here's an instance, very similar actually. By the way, Job didn't know this. Peter knew it. Peter was warned about it. Job didn't know what was afflicting him. In Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. So he still has access. He still has access to heaven. And he will be cast out eventually, you know, but not yet. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, his substance has increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but you know the story. He lost his family. He lost his substance. And verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this said Job, sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Okay, same thing. Satan comes along again. In chapter 2, verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, perfect and upright, one that feareth God, escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, I'm going to let you do this. God is faithful. There's no temptation such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested above that which you're able. God knew Job could handle this, and Job did handle this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know when I've tried, I'll come forth as gold. And he did. I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, now might I see of thee. Now that's a different case, I realize, than Peter. But just, again, there you have the veil pulled back. And there's a spirit realm in which we're involved. And the enemy, he knows you, right? He knows if there's an Achilles heel somewhere. And that's why Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't let any weak place be there. Ephesians chapter 4, give no place to the devil. Don't give him a handle. Don't have sin that's condoned in your life, because the enemy will use it and you'll be in a very bad spot. And so our battle's in this realm, and Satan asked for Peter and God said yes. Now, you know, God doesn't do anything except for his glory and except for man's edification. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose. So that would include this, right? That would include this in very intense spiritual warfare that even included, it would even include Peter's fall. But we'll get to that. Now, what was Satan's desire? Satan's desire, he said, was to sift you as wheat. Now, to you and I, that maybe isn't something that would readily come to our mind what that is, but they would have a sieve, and the wheat would be shaken to and fro to separate the grain from the chaff. I want to spare that wheat, right? That grain that's valuable, but get rid of the chaff. Well, you know Satan's purpose was to bring down Peter. He's ready to knock him out of the picture. He's very intelligent, right? And so he realizes Peter's a leader, right? He's of the Peter, James, and John. He's in the core. He's always the spokesman. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe and are sure. You know, his stand is bold. Well, Satan, he wants to sift him. Satan wants to knock him down. Now, God has a purpose too. And God's purpose, of course, he's going to let him. He's going to let him sift. He's going to let him sift out the chaff. He's going to let him sift out the chaff of the pride and the self-confidence, the self-reliance, the boasting, and all that. And that's what he does with us, right? And it's a painful process sometimes as he's sifting. And he allows and he uses Satan to sift us, to bring about the growth in grace. You know, Peter later on, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll lift you up in due time. So we want to react rightly, don't we? We don't want to get all bitter. Job didn't. You know, look at Job. In fact, if we do fall like Peter, remember, this is something you want to remember about Peter. He would not, and he wept bitterly. His repentance was immediate when he did when he denied the Lord. So God will use these things. And now, it's a dark hour, by the way. Satan was involved. Jesus said, this is your hour in the power of darkness. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. You know, he's in Gethsemane, agonizing in prayer. Jesus himself said, my soul is exceedingly depressed, even unto death. You know, he's sweating drops of blood. Is in his omniscience, he's anticipating the cross, the Father's face being turned away, and the bearing the sins of the world. I mean, this couldn't be any or difficult time, and Satan's powers are especially working. And so this was not a time to take lightly. And Jesus is warning them all, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Get on your knees, you know, be serious. What did they do? They slept, right? They slept for sorrow. They couldn't handle this whole thing. And by the way, Peter later says, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And right after he said, casting all your care on him, he cares for you. Be in prayer. Be alert. And I want to say, brethren, there are times and seasons of spiritual darkness still. If you haven't had it yet, you will. There are times when the enemy does focus on you. And then it's wise that with spiritual discernment to know when that is, you know, when that is happening. And you know, the only safe place is to abide in the truth of the Word. If you get out of that, you're giving the enemy a handle. And the only safe place is you got to have on all that armor, including that breast of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, helmets of salvation. What a mess. Belt of truth. And so you want to have it all on, right? You want to be, and then stand. Four times Paul says that. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Be ready. You're called to be a soldier, you know. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And you it's not an optional thing. By the way, there's no armor for the back, you know. Doesn't do to turn and run. He'll get you. And so you have to be able to, by the grace of God, stand against him. Now, going on, though, Satan has desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. Now, this is an encouraging part. Secondly, here we see the Lord's prayer for Peter's mouth. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That means that thy faith be not eclipsed. Now again, the veil is pulled back. And Hebrews 7:25 says, he's able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus is always praying. We're not conscious of that. We know the prayers are customized, just like they were for Peter. Jesus knew what Peter's going through here. He knows what you and I are going through. He knows if you're going through a season of difficulty, and he's praying for you. And so, the high priest of the Old Testament would go into the holiest place, and he had the breastplate on, which had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on stones. And that represents he had God's people on his heart. So does Jesus in heaven. He also had two stones on the shoulder pieces, and with the names of the children of Israel showing he bore them by his strength. So Jesus is there in heaven. He's interceding with compassion. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You're going through a trial. The Lord's going through your trial, and the Lord's interceding for you. Or you feel weak. You know, there's such a thing. men ought always to pray, not to faint. And well, the Lord, he's got the power by his intercession to hold you up. And so that's a wonderful ministry he has. So he is praying for Peter here. I've prayed for thee. By the way, when it says Satan hath desired to have you, that's plural. But then he does make it particularly apply to Peter, Simon, Simon. Then he says, but I've prayed for thee. That is singular. I'm praying for you, Peter, that thy faith fail not. Now, the ministry of Jesus, by the way, is something that maybe should be described. Let's go to 1 John 2. Don't want to branch off too much, but he's our representative. I mentioned that Satan is like the prosecuting attorney. Well, Jesus is your defense lawyer. But he's not a slick Philadelphia lawyer who's going to find a loophole. Oh, he didn't really mean it, you know. No, here's the basis of his representation in 1 John 2. In verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we have a representative. But notice this, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the basis of his advocacy is, I died for this one. This is a brand plucked out of the fire. My blood's been shed for this one. And so I'm defending this one. Let's go to another place in Zechariah where you have it. It's very interesting. This is a true incident here. Zechariah chapter 3. This one you might compare more to a picture of salvation, though. Zechariah 2, second to last book in the Old Testament, 2:13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And he did that for Stephen, right, when he's being martyred. And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. That's a picture of salvation, forgiveness, filthy garments taken away, justification and righteousness imputed, give him clean garments. But Satan's right there to resist. I mentioned this morning in calling, we talked to a man that's an atheist. There's no such thing, you know, because the knowledge of God is in them, Romans 1. But they're trying to shut it out, that light, you know. And God, though, is able to shed that light in the heart. Satan is there. He's there to resist the soul being saved. I pray for this man, Eric. And that's salvation. But the devil's there. But the Lord is there in defense. So the Lord was there in defense of Peter. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, this is very important. You know, some trials rock you to the foundation, right? Where you're looking at the fact that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. That happened to J.O. Fraser when he was in the Himalaya Mountains trying to reach the Lhasa people of China. He's there alone, living in some hut on the side of a mountain, and satanic darkness was there, and he wasn't seeing much happen, and he began to doubt whether he's called to be there. He began to doubt whether he was saved. He began to think, should I take my own life? And then, maybe you know the story, he got a little pamphlet from a Chinese Christian about resisting the devil by faith, and principalities and powers have been spoiled because of the cross. Make your stand. And he did. He began to do that. The darkness fled. And these things are real, you know. And so, but he was shaken to the core. Peter was no doubt shaken to the core. But Peter's faith did not fail. His courage did. His loyalty to Jesus did. I mean, the very thing that he didn't want to fail, he was, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. And you know, this is exactly what he did not want to happen. But for sure, his faith did not fail. Neither will yours if you're a true Christian. He who's begun a good work in you, he'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Now he says, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, that particular word here is not for salvation from the penalty of sin, but from the act and power of sin, in which Peter would be repentant, he'd be humbled, he'd be emptied, and he'd be filled. And he wouldn't stand in his own strength after this, he'd stand in the strength of the Lord. You have that in other places, that tense of the word. We saw it this morning, Philippians 1:19, Paul says, I'm counting on your prayers for my salvation. In Philippians 1, he's in prison, and then he describes it, Philippians 1:19, 20, that Christ would be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you, to willing to do his good pleasure. It's a process, right? And, I mean, don't misunderstand me. You're born again, you pass from death into life, you believe in Jesus, you're delivered from the penalty of sins. You trust his death for your sins and resurrection. But this thing of deliverance from the power of sin, sanctification, that's an ongoing thing. And this is what was happening to Peter. And it would be a major transformation when it did. So, please go to Psalm 37. Sometimes Christians fall. David fell. Now, he had consequences for it, but he was restored. In Psalm 37, 24... Though he fall, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So, now, you know, to a certain extent, we all fall, or we all stumble, and to a certain extent. We haven't arrived yet, as far as our conformity to Christ. So what do you do? you get back up, right? You confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you go forward. So when thou art converted, when this humbling process would take place and this great transformation would happen in Peter's life, he's no longer quick to boast. They'll all be offended. I won't be, Lord. No. I don't think Peter was so outspoken. You know, before this, he always had to say something, didn't he? Well, I guess later on he did in Acts. Not so, Lord, when he said, rise and eat. You know, but there was a process working. There's a process working in you and I, isn't there? There's a humbling process. The way down is the way up. And Psalm 84, we go from strength to strength. And he meets us in the valley of Baca, right? He makes it a well. He fills the pools. That's a valley of tears. He'll meet you in the valley. He'll meet you in that low spot. That's what happened with Peter, most definitely. And so afterwards he says, strengthen thy brethren. Now I won't turn to it for time, but you know it. In John 21, where Jesus... by the way, Jesus personally appeared to Peter after he rose from the dead to encourage and confirm Peter. But then there was a public reinstallment in John 21 where there's about seven disciples there. And there was a little children, have you any food? Do you have any fish? No. So they came in. He had it all. He had the breakfast prepared, right? Fish for breakfast. And they came and dined with him. And then he had the interview. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times he asked him that. You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. What did he say? Feed my sheep, which means shepherd. Shepherd my lambs. And this is what he's saying here. After you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. Yeah, I'm not done with you, Peter. After you go through this, I want you to strengthen, which means confirm and establish thy brethren. And it's very interesting. Peter lays hold of that word. If you go, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is what God did for Peter. Remember when he first met him? Thou art Peter. I'm going to make you a rock. That's what he did. But this process had to happen. And but notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, it is the one, though, who's been emptied and who's been tested and humbled, who's going to be an instrument in the hand of God to strengthen his brethren. And notice 1 Peter 5:10 what he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. Only God can do that. And so he's going to take you through the fire. And Peter talks a lot about that, right? Don't think it strains a fiery trial, which is to test you. And the trial of your faith, though it be more precious than gold, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Where there's gold, he's turning up the heat, right? Because he's purifying the faith. He's deepening our relationship with him. Now, let me compare it to Job. Now, wouldn't you think a man who's, there's none like him in the earth, perfect, upright, shuns evil and fears God, that'd be good enough? No. God's going to take him to a higher level. And he did. Peter, he's strong. He's faithful. God had more plans for Peter. He's going to use him in as an emptied, humbled vessel dependent upon God's grace. Please go to 2 Peter 1:12. Here's where Peter uses the word again, establish. 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And again, here's an interesting one, 2 Peter 3:17, for you scientific minds. Well, that's not the passage I'm thinking of. Ye therefore, brethren, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also bring, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And we want to beware. Now, so Jesus predicts all this. He predicts Satan's going to, he's asked for you, and it infers he's been given permission, he was going to sift you. I've prayed for you though, Peter. Your faith isn't going to fail, but when you go through this, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And now Peter says, well, Lord, I'm sorry. You know that's going to happen. Thank you for praying for me. No, That isn't his response. And his very response, proves the value of this whole lesson. In verse 33, and he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. In other words, these are words of self-confidence. Really, an inexperienced disciple who had not yet found out his own inherent weakness. Neither did he realize the power of Satan, I don't believe. And so, now don't you think he meant it? I'll go to prison, I'll go to death. I think he meant it. But he didn't know himself. And in fact, back in John, where we read the chronology of this, where Jesus first announced it in the upper room, Peter, Jesus said, you cannot follow me now. This wasn't the time. This wasn't the time. And he should have just went with that. But no, he's trying to stand in his own strength. And he didn't, again, realize the full dangers and the powers of darkness at this time. So, with that, Jesus says in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, it's interesting here. He doesn't say, Simon, Simon. He says, I tell thee, Peter. And in other words, the one I'm going to make a rock. But not yet. The cock is going to crow this day. Now, by the way, that cock crowing, you can hear it, can't you? It's a detailed prediction which would trigger Peter's memory and bring up repentance. Because when the cock crowed, he remembered. And he turned and he saw Jesus. And let's turn to it in Luke 22. You know, God is very gracious. He's very kind. Luke 22:54. By the way, you know what the occasion is. Jesus had been apprehended. He's going through a false trial by the Jews. He's being beaten. And this is a dark thing. And to be caught as one of his disciples, you're probably dead that night. But notice in Luke 22:54, then took they him and led him, brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were down, sat down together, Peter sat down among them. That's a mistake. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You can picture that scene, can't you? He loved the Lord. So this is a tough one. So Jesus knows all things. Jesus knew the weakness of his servant. And so three times he would deny that he even knew the Lord. And so what do we conclude? And well, first of all, Satan, he's a reality. His temptations are a reality. Those powers of darkness that may move in on you are a reality. And so we want to realize that and beware, be vigilant. Our adversary the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We want to submit to God and resist the devil, James 4. We want to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. Satan is real, and so we need God's defense. And we don't want to be presumptuous about it. Everybody might, but I won't. That's why I had that opening question. You think you won't deny the Lord? You think if persecution comes to America and they come in with machine guns? Now, everybody that's a Christian, stand up. Will you do it? There's been men that have burned to the stake. And there's been those that have denied, those that have gone through martyrdom to have a better resurrection. They didn't deny the Lord. The test may come. Or it may come on a smaller scale, right? where we deny the Lord. There's a thousand ways, you know, in which a Christian can deny the Lord. Actually, every time we sin, we deny the Lord. Or we can publicly deny the Lord and not be identified, not stand according to His word, His truth. And then secondly, we want to realize our own weakness too, our own susceptibility. And you that think that you stand, take heed lest you fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. You know, there's many a Christian who's been defeated, many a Christian who's fallen. They're out of the ball game and not able to glorify God, to serve Him effectively. So we want to be careful of pride and seeming self-sufficiency. That happened to them, and that's not going to happen to me. Well, we're in a dangerous position with the very attitude. And so we don't want to deny His name. Revelation 3:8 talks about those who did not deny His name. So may God give us grace that we wouldn't, that we'd be faithful. Be faithful unto death, I give you a crown of life. And so, with humility and meekness, as we go through the tests and trials, maybe God will use us to strengthen our brethren. You know, again, if you pull the veil back, you have all this dark satanic working. You pull the veil back again, you have Jesus praying in heaven. And you have Jesus' marvelous work being done in His servant Peter, as He's making him a rock. But God's not going to let man glory in an arm of flesh, though. So He had to be emptied that He might be filled. The process had to take place. The process is taking place with you and I, too. It might not be as dramatic, but it's taking place if we're going to go forward in our spiritual lives and growth. But here's the very encouraging part. After you're converted, strengthen your brethren. After trial and suffering will come the establishment. And Peter was made a pillar. Galatians 2:9. Peter is the one that preached the Pentecost. 2,000 saved in one, another 5,000 in another. There's never been messages like that, ever. This is the man God used, and he made him a pillar. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee for the warnings that are there. We thank Thee even in that spiritual realm, that there are the principalities and powers, but You know them and You have them at bay according to Thy will. And help us to be watchful and vigilant and to have on the armor. Help us to not trust ourselves, but to trust Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee, Father, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we pray, may your way be worked out in us in spiritual growth and establishment, and that we could honor Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.